246. 246, Calvary covers it all. Let's stand, please, as we sing together. After we sing this verse, the gospel choir will be coming to sing for us. On the last verse, please, without the instruments.
Thank you. Praise the Lord for that truth. Opportunity to rejoice in the Lord that He loves us. Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 4, looking at verses 10 and 11. I trust by this time these verses are already familiar, or perhaps are even memorized, and a truth to remind ourselves of. And we'd like to ask you then to cite this reference, and then these verses, and then we'll cite the reference again. So if you would, please join me together as we say these verses together. 1 John 4, 10 and 11. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 4, 10 and 11. Just checking on you. We welcome you this evening to Hampton Park Baptist Church. It's a privilege to have you with us tonight. All of you that are here, we trust that the time spent is one that will certainly draw you closer to Jesus Christ. If you are visiting for the very first time, or perhaps it's been some time since you've been here, or just simply still consider yourself a visitor, we'd love for you to take a card. Please fill that out. Place that in the offering plate as it comes by in just a few minutes. And then we'd love the opportunity to be able to note your being here and help you in any way we can. Trust this service is a blessing to you this evening.
The ladies' Bible study for this spring session had a good beginning on Wednesday. Still opportunity for other ladies to come, meeting at 9:15, going until about 11 o'clock, studying the tabernacle. And I think there are some lessons available from last week at the desk if you would like to come on Wednesday and go by and pick those up beforehand. And remember, that's followed by the morning prayer meeting, to which any ladies and others are invited. And then at 1 o'clock, there's ladies' visitation, and the nursery is available for all of these things for those who can go. And we hope that more ladies will be able to come to the visitation. Had it for many years, Tuesday morning, and we've had about three faithful ladies who've come every week. We'd like to add to that number and have more ladies go out. So keep that in mind for this Wednesday. Tickets are available this evening for the Sportsman's Banquet at Morningside Baptist Church this week. Tom Johnson will be out in the ministry area for any of you men or ladies who would like to buy tickets for that. They're going to be serving wild game and tame game too, I guess. It's all going to be cooked, of course. It won't be on the hoof or on the wing. But be a good time of fellowship, and if you'd like to go to that, those tickets will be available. Other announcements in the bulletin that I would ask you to give your attention to. Let's remember Chuck Simon's mother, who had a growth in her mouth removed about a month ago. Now it's growing back. The doctor said it's not malignant, but it acts like a malignancy. So they are concerned about this new growth, and let's remember her. I forgot to mention this morning Debbie Payne, who will be having surgery on the 19th of this month. Elsie Niccolo remains in room 746 at Roger Peace. I want to pray for her. Also, let's keep on praying for Jim Martin. We're glad that his daughter, Kim Crowley, got home safely from Cambodia. And let's pray for Jim and the whole family in this time of great need there. I want to pray for the family of David Troll upon the loss of his stepfather yesterday. Also pray for David's mother, who is in the hospital recovering from a stroke and surgery. My wife's 91-year-old uncle passed away this week. His name was Jim Howard, lived up in the Glassy Mountain community at Pickens. He was the last one of his immediate family. He had 9 brothers and sisters that all went on before he did. So we went to the funeral this afternoon. He had a tremendous testimony for the Lord there in the community as a father and as a member of his church and just as a strong Christian believer. And appreciate your prayers for that family. David Bauman, one of our former members who visits here at times, will be having bypass surgery tomorrow in Pennsylvania. And we want to remember David in our prayers as well. In a moment, the ushers will be coming to receive our tithes and offerings for this evening. Thank you in advance for what you're going to be giving to the Lord's work tonight. We're so grateful to the Lord for His provision for us and in every way. And as we seek to get the funds for this new activity center, we're grateful for what God has sent our way for that, and we look forward to getting the entire amount. That's one of our goals for this year, that the Lord would provide that entire amount for us. We hope to begin the construction around the 1st of June, and we'll be having a special business meeting in a week or so to get your approval on some things before the actual construction gets started. We'll have the ushers come and get in place here to receive the offering. Pastor Cruz will lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that you've designed the church, recognizing our need to have this very special fellowship, to have this source of encouragement, this place of accountability. Lord, we think of those that have been mentioned who are going through some physical setbacks right now, and families that have experienced the loss of loved ones. We also know, Lord, that you have a plan and a perspective different than ours, higher than ours. And Lord, by faith, we commit all these circumstances to you. We pray, Lord, through these pain and sufferings and tribulations, that you will work in a mighty way in the lives of those affected. We pray, Lord, that you'd give them your vision. May they have their faith strengthened to trust thee, that thou know best. And we look forward, Lord, to what you will work out that will not only bring glory to you, but bring good to those involved. We thank you now, Lord, for this time of offering, recognizing once again that everything we have is because thou hast given it to us. And we give back a portion of that, Lord, knowing that you are far more able to multiply it, that it might advance your kingdom, and because you have commanded us to do so. So, Lord, help us to follow you faithfully in this matter, recognizing it as an essential part of our worship together. Would you be with our preacher, with the word that's brought forth? May we be challenged, Lord, to be more like you. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
thank the choir for the ministry tonight, and thank Bill Eddings for leading the choir today, and Mike Collins for leading the congregation while Dave Crist is away. We're grateful for those people that God has provided for leadership here at Hampton Park Baptist Church. And tonight we'd like to have a time of dedication for our deacons. And so while we're standing and singing this next song, I'll ask all the deacons to come and take their places here at the front on the last verse. When we sing the last verse, please come.
We also want to thank tonight Susanna Barba and Sarah Sackett for their beautiful offertory. I'm sure that was a blessing to you. 133, please, in your hymnal. 133, Why Should He Love Me So? And let's stand, please, as we sing.
And just move over here to the center. Just move on over so everybody can see everyone. I know not all of our deacons are here tonight. A few of them didn't get off the golf course in time to get back for the evening service. No, some had other obligations this evening and couldn't be here. I'd like to read from 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications of a deacon. It says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, we don't claim perfection for our deacons in these areas, but we do believe they're all moving in the right direction And for that, we thank the Lord. We have six committees on our deacon board, and I'm not going to try to identify these folks as to their various committees tonight. I'll have a difficult enough time giving you their names. But there are six committees, and then there are three officers of the deacon board. So beginning over here at my left, on your right, I have Kyle Neds, John Peary, David Wise, who was on our deacon board before, and he's back on this year, having been reelected. Kyle Martin. Oh, Kevin Martin. Yes, I'm sorry. You look so young tonight, Kevin. All right. Ed Panosian. Thurman Wisdom. And when he was a young man, he was on our deacon board. And now that he's retired, he's returned to the deacon board, so he has something worthwhile to do. Scott Kinkey, Ken Martin, Danny Blackman, Mark Miller, Sam Brenneman, Ronnie Stepp, David Baxter, Jarvis Brenneman, Ken Hall, Randy Yeagley. Randy is new to the board this year, and he has not served as a deacon prior to this time anywhere. So we're going to have a brief ordination for him as a part of this dedication tonight. Tom Butts, Corbin Tabler, Alan Jeffrey, who is one of our deacons emeritus. When a man gets to be 75, he can choose to be a deacon emeritus, or he can go on as he normally has done and be reelected every 3 years. But a number of our men have decided to take that position of deacon emeritus. That means they sit in on all of the deacons' meetings. They can have all the input, can give all the money in the offering that they want to give. They just don't get a vote when there is something up for a vote in the deacon board. Stan Kinkey, Lonnie Polson, Warren Lennon. Warren is also new to our deacon board this year. Jim Ryerson, another deacon emeritus. Harry Walmer, Doug Van Scoy. We have Doug Garland. Doug is secretary of our deacon board. And let's see, I haven't come to the others yet. All right. Richard Thompson, Tom Kendall, Chuck Alderson, who is a deacon emeritus. And we have Paul Wickensheimer, who is the chairman of our deacon board. Randy Murr, Horace Lennon, who is also a deacon emeritus, and Ralph Payne. Dick Stratton is the vice chairman of our deacon board, and he's not with us this evening. So I hope you'll pray for these men as they carry on the responsibilities of leadership. They're not our only leaders, but they are very vital to the ongoing ministry of Hampton Park Baptist Church. I want to ask Randy Yeagley just to kneel right where he is, and maybe three of you on each side of him, if you'll place hands on him. This is what they did for the first deacons back in Acts chapter 6. We'll not attempt to get everybody around him. But let's pray together now. Father, we are grateful for the men of leadership that you have provided for us. Thank you for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for their Christian character, for their willingness to serve in the capacity of deacon here in Hampton Park Baptist Church. Lord, we know that there are many decisions to be made, and we seek to make those decisions under your leadership and direction. We're not perfect, never will claim perfection. But Lord, we're thankful that we have a Bible to guide us, and we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, and we have common sense that you have entrusted to us. And so I pray that as we go out throughout this year of 2001, that the decisions that are made on the deacon board and those decisions that are referred to the congregation will have your direction, and that your will be done in all of them. We come now to this time of ordination for Randy Yeagley. We thank you for him, for his ministry for thee as a teacher of thy word. And I pray that as he now has joined the deacon board and is formally ordained as a deacon, that thou wilt bless him and use him in this capacity as well. May he find joy in serving thee in this way, and may he make valuable contributions to this church and all of its related ministries as he has opportunity to do so. Father, we recognize that we live in a day when many who profess to know Christ are led astray by the devil, by their own flesh, in a time of great temptation. And one of the strongest requests that we have for these men is that they will remain faithful to Thee, faithful to their mates, faithful to their families, faithful, Father, in every responsibility that they have, that You'll help them to walk with Thee day by day. May none of them bring reproach upon Thy name, but Lord, may they bring glory to Thy name as they serve Thee here in the church, as they serve Thee in their vocations, as they lead their families. Father, may they just be used of Thee. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank You so much.
For those of you joining us via radio, this is Hampton Park Baptist Church. This evening, Pastor David Yurick will be bringing our message, who is our senior pastor. And right before he does, Annette Reich and Nancy Lee Yurick will be singing for us. Let's go to the Lord and ask His blessing upon the remainder of this service. Father, we praise You that we can be joined together, be like-minded, and be desirous to serve and please You. But that in and of itself needs to follow actions. And I pray that You'd help us this evening as a result of our time together, that You'd bless in Your word as it's preached, and bless that we as hearers of Your word would follow to be doers of Your word and not hearers only. And for that we thank You and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy.
By now you all know that Nancy Lee is my daughter-in-law, and Annette is my niece, and I'm trying to pick up some of their musical talent. I'm still working on it. Thank you, ladies, for sharing this message and song with us tonight. Let's turn to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Begin to read with the 27th verse. Acts 21, 27. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him, that is Paul, in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. When they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with 2 chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. Some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. When he was come upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him." And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar, and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" But Paul said, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. Information had been given out about the Apostle Paul. First of all, it says back in verse 29, they had seen Paul, and they had seen with him in the city a man by the name of Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And that was not to be allowed. Paul hadn't actually done it, but seeing him with this man, they supposed that they had taken him, or he had taken him into the temple. So it was misinformation. It was a false accusation against the apostle. And then in verse 38, the captain says to him, "Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" Here was something else that was supposed of Paul, but it was misinformation. It wasn't true. Paul was not that person at all. And throughout the Word of God, we can find examples of people receiving wrong information or misinformation. Turn to Matthew chapter 20 for another example of this, where we have the parable of the man who owned the vineyard, and he hired workers to go out and work in the vineyard, some at different times of the day. And when it came time to be paid, it says, verse 9, "And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, those that had gone out early in the morning, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny." They had a misunderstanding about the pay, what they were to receive. It was a matter of misinformation. Being misinformed caused them to be unhappy because they thought they should have received more than the people who went out later in the day. Now, we live in a time when there is a great deal of misinformation being passed about. In this age of the internet and the email, there is so much information that is passed out day after day. Nobody knows the actual number of email messages that are sent. But if you have email, you probably have received some messages that seemed rather out of the ordinary, very unusual, and you accepted what those messages had in them, and maybe or maybe not found out later that they were a matter of misinformation. You were misinformed. And so tonight I just want to call our attention to some of these things with the idea that we'll watch out for misinformation that we might receive about various things. Many of you remember, and this was before email, the story about the NASA scientist who with a computer accidentally discovered Joshua's missing day. That went around for a long time. As it turned out, it was a hoax. It was a matter of misinformation. It didn't actually happen. Something that started about 30 years ago was supposedly a petition against religious broadcasting that was brought about by Madeline Murray O'Hare. That she was trying to get religious programming off of the radio. And I began to receive copies of petitions for people to sign. And I'm sure that we had many of those signed and sent into the FCC that Madeline Murray O'Hare would not be able to take religious programming off of the radio. Well, as it turns out, Madeline Murray O'Hare had absolutely nothing to do with any such petition. There were a couple of men who sought to make some changes in the licensing of radio stations. But this woman, as wicked as she was not involved in that in any way. And yet by 1995, the FCC, according to this report, received over 30 million pieces of mail, 30 million petitions against what Madeline Murray O'Hare was trying to do. Now, she's been out of the picture for some time and has disappeared. Now the petition has added the fact that she's trying to get touched by an angel off the air. That might be a good idea, but she had nothing to do with that. She's been gone from the scene before that program ever came on television. And every few months, somebody will bring me a petition, well-meaning, and I don't fault them for doing so. They get a copy of petition at work, and they'll say, "Did you hear what Madeline Murray O'Hare is trying to do? Trying to get all religious programming off the air." And so the FCC is continuing to receive bags of these petitions, and it's going on, and they have appealed to the Christian peoples, mostly from Christian people, to say there was nothing to Madeline Murray O'Hare, and the petition that law or whatever proposed legislation that was introduced was defeated and done away with a long time ago. But people are still being misinformed by that. Did you ever hear about the explorers in Siberia who dug down several miles into the earth and broke into hell? And the cries of the damned came out of that hole and they heard it. That was on radio and television a number of years back. In fact, I heard one man talking about it, how these explorers had gone there, and what an awesome experience it was to hear those cries of people in the torment of hell. But it wasn't so. There never was any such exploration. There never was any digging a hole that went through into hell. Never happened at all. Yet it was a very strong story, and it was something that a lot of people grasped and believed and passed on to others. There was a petition during Bill Clinton's presidency that I saw a number of times about Attorney General Janet Reno being on, I think it was 60 Minutes on CBS. And she supposedly made the statement that anyone who believes the Bible is a dangerous cultist. Maybe you saw such a petition. As it turns out, Janet Reno was never on that program. She never made such a statement. And on, this information continues. Before President-elect Bush was sworn into office, I received an email, and many of you probably received it too, told about the president being at an appreciation banquet for workers in his campaign. And during the course of the banquet, President-elect and Mrs. Bush were walking around the room, and they were greeting people. And one woman supposedly found out that President Bush was a Christian. And he shared a little bit of his testimony with her. She had her grandson with her. And the president-elect supposedly said to her grandson, "Are you saved?" And he said, "No, I'm not." And he said, would you like me to tell you how the Lord saved me?" And according to this email, he sat down and he took 30 minutes and witnessed to this boy and led him to the Lord. Now, that was a tremendous story. And a lot of people were just so excited over that. But again, it didn't happen. It was misinformation. Somebody who was, oh, and by the way, this had the names of people in it. So I emailed back to the person who sent it to me, and I said, "Can you verify this? Is this really true?" And he emailed back and said, "As far as I know, it is, but I will check it out." And there were people that were named in this email that either had a part in this or knew somebody that was at this banquet. And the one man who was named said, "I don't know where they got my name, but they used my name." And while that would have been a wonderful thing, it didn't happen. As soon as I saw it, I thought, now, I wonder if the president-elect would be allowed 30 minutes to take a chair and sit down in the midst of a busy schedule and talk to someone for a half hour and lead them to the Lord. Been great if it had been true, but it was misinformation. Somebody said to me today, "Have you heard about the virus that's being sent through the mail?" We got this email concerning this virus. And let me just, this is for headquarters. It's no joke. Very scary. Just when you thought you were safe, a threat to our lives and health. This is an alert about a virus in the original sense of the word, one that affects your body, not your hard drive. There have been 23 confirmed cases of people attacked by the Klingerman virus, a virus that arrives in your real mailbox, not your email box. Someone has been sending large blue envelopes, seemingly at random, to people inside the U.S. On the front of the envelope, in bold black letters, is printed, "A gift for you from the Klingerman Foundation." When the envelopes are opened, there is a small sponge sealed in plastic. This sponge carries what has come to be known as the Klingerman virus. As public health officials state, this is a strain of virus they have not previously encountered. When asked for comment, Florida Police Sergeant Stetson said, "We are working with the CDC and the USPS, but have so far been unable to track down the origins of these letters. The return addresses have all been different, and we are certain a remailing service is being used, making our jobs that much more difficult. Those who have come in contact with the Klingerman virus have been hospitalized with severe dysentery. So far, 7 of the 23 victims have died. There is no legitimate Klingerman Foundation mailing unsolicited gifts. If you receive an oversized blue envelope in the mail marked a gift from the Klingerman Foundation, do not open it. Place it in a strong plastic bag or container and call the police immediately. The gift is one you definitely do not want to open. Please pass this on to everyone you care about." Well, then today comes this email. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has recently received several inquiries concerning an email message about people who have been infected with Klingerman virus after opening gift packages delivered to them in the mail. According to the email message, a number of people became ill with a viral infection after handling a sponge contained in a package marked "A Gift for You" from the Klingerman Foundation. The email is a hoax. There is no Klingerman virus, and the information in the email notice is untrue. If you receive an email message about Klingerman virus, please do not forward it to others. Although the email message is a hoax, if you are concerned about the contents of a package you receive in the mail, contact your local post office. It's a criminal offense to send potentially hazardous agents through the mail for the purpose of deliberately causing harm to human health. So these are just some of the misinformation messages that probably all of us have heard or we have received in our email, and they're not going to end. They're going to keep coming. Therefore, we need to be careful what we receive. We need to be careful what we pass on to others. If it sounds too good or too bad to be true, it's probably not. Now, I'm not including in that things that are made clear to us in the Bible. If it says it in the Bible, it's so. No matter how good or how bad it is. It's based on a Bible truth. But if you just hear a message like some of these that I have referred to and it sounds real good or it sounds real terrible and it's not from the Bible, it's not Bible-based, then chances are it is not true. Some of these things are, but most of them, none of these that I have shared with you tonight have proved to be true. So remember that. And then seek to authenticate what you receive or what you hear. You have email and you get such a message. Probably it came from somebody. And I know many of these are just passed on from one person to another. But try to go back as far as you can and try to find out if the name's in there, if those people can be contacted. I received a number or a telephone number to call in regard to the one about President-elect Bush. And others called that number. There was never any answer to it. There was no response to it at all. So there was no way to authenticate it and find out if it were true, which, of course, it wasn't. But if you get such a message, and it's something like seems very urgent, like this one that was received yesterday or today, try to find out if it's actually so. And it's best not to pass it on until you do. It's best to hold it to yourself until you are sure that it's been verified and it is actually so. But if you feel you must pass it on, then put a disclaimer on it and say, I received this in my email and I'm just passing it on to you and I'm not saying that it's authentic. I'm not saying that it's true. I'm just passing it on for what I have received. And just disclaim the fact that you believe it to be true. We must protect our credibility. I don't know who the people are that come up with these hoaxes. I don't know what their motive is. But they would like to destroy the credibility of Christians. Sometimes we seem to be more gullible than unsaved people do. And I don't know this, and again, I can't verify this, but I would believe that this is not just one person, but this is being done to destroy some of our credibility because we do have a message that's too good to be true. In the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. We have a message that's too bad to be true. For while those scientists did not dig through into hell, there is a hell, according to the Bible, and we believe that. And there are souls in torment in hell. And we have the example of the rich man in the gospel of Luke crying out in torment. And we believe there are souls that are crying out in torment and will be doing so forever and ever. So those are credible stories because they have a Bible basis. But people, there are people out there, not the friends of God, but the enemies of God, that are seeking to destroy our testimonies, to destroy our credibility, to make us look foolish, to do all they can. And they say, yeah, well, that story is just like your story about heaven and your story about hell that you tell to everybody. But there's a difference because that's from the Bible. Turn to Luke chapter 3 and verse 23. There was information that was certainly given out about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the most tragic misinformation that can be passed about today. things about the Lord Jesus, things about His salvation that are not true, that are not Bible-based, that cannot be shown from the Bible. But in this third chapter and the 23rd verse, we have the beginning of the genealogy of the Lord. And it says in verse 23, "And Jesus Himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph." Being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. Even though we know Jesus was virgin born and He had no earthly father, that was not the common view of Jesus in His day. Remember one time some of the Pharisees said to Him, "We be not born of fornication." And by that they were saying to Jesus, "But you were." And that was the common idea about the Lord Jesus, that He was an illegitimate child of Joseph and of Mary. Now we know the truth. We believe the Bible. We believe what the Bible says, that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, that He had no earthly father. And while Joseph was His guardian or took the place of His earthly father, he had no part in the conception. He had no part in the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, other than He probably assisted Mary at the time of the birth as they were in the stable in Bethlehem. But just think of all the misinformation that has been spread even this day, this Sunday, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thousands of religions in the world, many of those rejecting Jesus Christ altogether. And some people were told today that Jesus Christ is a hoax, that He never rose from the dead. He's not God. He was a man. That has been authenticated, that there was a person named Jesus. But they say, as far as being God, as far as being a Savior, as far as dying for the sins of mankind, that is not true. And many people were given stories like that today. And then we have the cults, where there is some truth, but a whole lot of error concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, where maybe He was a good man, which He couldn't have been because He claimed to be the Son of God. And if He wasn't the Son of God, then he wasn't a good man. But they say He was a good man. He was a great teacher. He said some things we ought to pay attention to, some things that we can apply to our own lives. But as far as Him having the power to save us from sin, that is just not so. And so in all of these various cults and religions, and even some religions that go by the name of Christian, there's all this misinformation concerning our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to rejoice tonight that we have the inspired Word of God, that we have the Bible that has been passed from generation to generation. The Bible tells us the truth about Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He is God Himself, the second person of the Trinity, that He lived a perfect life. He died for us on the cross of Calvary. He became our substitute there. He shed His precious blood, and our sins are washed away in His blood. That is correct information. And that's the information the world needs to hear. And yet, because of so many in the world that have rejected Christ and so many that are really opposed to Christ, there is all of this untruth, all of these lies, all of this misinformation that is being passed about, that is being taught, that is being preached concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We need to watch out for misinformation, need to be on our guard against it, whether it has to do with our salvation or our belief in Christ, or whether it's in some of these other areas that I've shared with you tonight. We need to be on the alert. We need to be on guard. And again, let's thank the Lord that we have been exposed to the real truth concerning God and His plan of redemption for mankind. And I hope you believe that truth. I hope you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you've had your sins washed away in His precious blood. Let's pray. Lord, we know we live in a world that is no friend of Thine. There are many in this world that would destroy all the truths about the Lord Jesus. They would destroy every Bible if they could. They would wipe away every remembrance of the name of Jesus. They would try to deceive those of us who have placed our faith and trust in Him. So, Father, I pray that we would be faithful in listening to Your Word, reading Your Word, hearing it taught, hearing it preached. We might become more and more acquainted with Your truth, which is eternal truth. Lord, help us to watch out for misinformation that is bound to come our way. Much already has, others will. There may be some things that we receive that are true. So, Lord, give us discernment. Give us that ability to discern. Help us to be able to find out the source of the information we receive, to authenticate it. And Lord, if we can't find out if it's actually so or not, that we would be careful as to what we do with it. Lord, we want to maintain a credible testimony in our community or wherever we are. Thee, and we love Thy Word, and that we are honest in our proclamation of that Word. We're not trying to deceive anybody, as often Christians are accused of doing, deceiving people into thinking that Jesus is the only way of salvation. And yet, Lord, Jesus Himself made that clear to us. So thank You for subjecting us to the truth, for giving us the faith to accept the truth, to believe the truth, to believe in Christ. And if any here, any listening, do not know Him, may they turn to Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. For we ask it in His name. Amen. We're going to sing number 359 as a song of invitation. Most of you here tonight profess to know Christ as your Savior. You've not only been exposed to the truth, but you've received the truth of the gospel. So I always like to give an invitation, an opportunity for any who haven't, to come and let somebody open the Bible and share with you the plan of salvation, that you might go away with the assurance in your heart that you belong to Jesus Christ. If you have any need as a believer that you want to come, and you either want to kneel at the altar or you want somebody to pray with you and talk with you, we invite you to come. And if we have those here who know Christ and you're in a fellowship with Him, you feel the Lord would have you be a part of this congregation, we invite you to come as well. So let's stand together as we sing number 359, I Hear Thy Welcome Voice. bow our heads and with our eyes closed, we'll listen to the choir. So they sing a stanza for us. If you need to come tonight, we certainly encourage you to do so. Not under my urging or my pleading, but under the leading of the Lord in your life. So while no one's looking around, the choir's singing, you do what you believe God would have you to do. Father, we're excited today because your voice now is a welcome voice, calling unto thee all who will come, all who will place their trust in Christ. One day your voice will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What a sad day that will be for those who put off salvation, who've rejected Christ, who would not receive the true information about him as found in thy word. Lord, I pray that no one in this service tonight or no one who hears this service later will close their hearts to Jesus and refuse him and die without him. To have that welcome voice changed to a voice that casts out, casts away. Thank you for this day and for the privilege we've had of coming together in these services. Lord, as we go through this coming week, remaining days of this week, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to thee. Lead us to the unsaved and lead the unsaved to us. Father, may we have the privilege of sharing the gospel with others. You may send some people across our paths, or you may send us across the paths of some people who need to be saved. So we praise thee for that opportunity of being your servants. But you have chosen us to go sow the seed of the truth of the Word of God. Help some good seed to be sown this week. We look for a harvest. We long for souls to be saved. In Christ's name, amen.